Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. Today is Tuesday, July 29th. I'm Ala Kuziz. Drum and bugle corps began as military signaling units. Today, it's a multi-million dollar competitive league.
There's music, there's dancing, it's entertaining, it's fun, it's loud, and I think that people just enjoy that kind of thing.
St. Louis Public Radio's Brian Munoz takes you inside the world of competitive drum corps and its ties to the Metro East. That's coming up after this news on The Gateway. An activist from Afton is no longer in Israeli custody for trying to bring in aid to Palestinians. Bob Zuberi was on a boat that was attempting to deliver food and hygiene products to Gaza when it was detained by the Israeli military over the weekend. Barbara Zuberi says her husband and a human rights attorney from Michigan were released because they're dual citizens of Israel and the United States, despite attempts by prosecutors to keep them in custody.
They tried, but their attorney set them loose. So the both of them are... They're no longer in custody, but they have to remain available for possible questioning.
The 20-member crew of the aid boat are facing charges of entering Israel illegally and attempting to enter a blockaded area. Union workers at Boeing plants in St. Louis, St. Charles, and Muskoka rejected the company's latest contract offer on Sunday. That opens the door to a possible strike by 3,200 aerospace workers. The leaders of the IAM union say they'll wait at least a week before taking that step. Michael Duff teaches labor law at St. Louis University and says the dispute comes at a time of great concern for workers' rights.
We live in an era in which union contract rights maybe don't mean what they used to mean. Now, you consider everything that's going on in the federal sector and all this talk of union rights being summarily terminated.
Boeing says in a statement the offer is the, quote, richest it's ever offered the union. The first day of school for St. Louis Public Schools is just 3 weeks away, but there's still a lot of uncertainty about how the May tornado will affect kids, families, and schools. STLPR's education reporter Hiba Ahmed reports some schools will be closed because of storm damage.
I think there's lots of questions around transportation. Some of these schools are much further away from their home-based neighborhood schools. And then I think that the other point here is that there are a lot of families that are still displaced by the storm. They are in temporary housing, so that could be hotels or Airbnbs covered by insurance or FEMA, or they're, you know, crashing with friends or family. And some of that's in the city, some of that's in the county. So that's a big concern here, is that families may still not be back in their homes in time for the start of the school year.
That's STLPR's education reporter Hiba Ahmed. Constructing a jet fuel pipeline in the Metro East to Scott Air Force Base is feasible. That's according to a new study of the project. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports the pipeline's backers believe it'll address long-term vulnerabilities at the military base.
The Kaskaskia Regional Port District study found the pipeline would provide a litany of benefits over the current method, trucking in jet fuel. The Department of Defense said Scott needed redundancy when it debated closing it years ago in a process called Base Realignment and Closure, or BRAC. Port District General Manager Ed Weilbacher says this pipeline could help secure Scott's future.
You don't do it when you're on a BRAC list for closure. You have to plan ahead. And planning ahead might be 20 years. And in the military's cases, they might be looking at 50 years for what their needs are.
The 16-mile pipeline would run north from the small village of Fayetteville. Weilbacher says the pipeline would make the military's fuel source more reliable, redundant, and resilient. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis residents can now get emergency contraception over-the-counter in area convenience stores and gas stations. Cadence OTC offers its products in 24 Missouri locations and 30 in the St. Louis area in Missouri and Illinois. Dr. Melissa Tapey is an OBGYN and Affinia Healthcare's chief medical officer.
Any type of safe access that people can have for kind of their reproductive health care needs, right, as long as it's safe, is a positive thing.
The company is targeting healthcare and contraceptive deserts where convenience stores might be the only location that sells contraception in a 5-mile radius. President Trump's recent budget bill could reduce contraception access by prohibiting Medicaid funding to organizations such as Planned Parenthood. Every summer, St. Louisans head to Columbia Bottoms Conservation Area to take photos with the sunflowers. But St. Louis Public Radio's Olivia Mizell reports the fields were not originally made for Instagram.
From early July until mid-August, the park in St. Louis County is home to massive sunflower blooms. Dan Zarlenga, media specialist for the Missouri Department of Conservation, says the flowers were originally planted to attract doves for hunting season. But about 6 to 8 years ago, people started to visit just to see and take photos of the sunflowers.
Eventually, the folks at Columbia Bottom, the staff there, got the idea that, well, what if we, since this is taking off so big for that purpose alone, why don't we plant some additional fields?
Zarlenga was a guest on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Olivia Mizell, St. Louis Public Radio.
While most high school football fields sit quiet in the dog days of summer, one in the Metro East is bursting with music and motion. St. Louis Public Radio's Brian Munoz takes us inside the world of drum corps.
After we have our unison, side two push.
More than 150 people fill a St. Louis area high school football field for practice in the humid Midwestern heat. Instructions and feedback echo down from the press box.
Can you make sure that you're sustaining your beautiful quality of sound all the way to the end of that release?
But these aren't football drills, and despite people holding flags and brass instruments, this isn't a local marching band. This is drum corps. The Boston Crusaders, who you're hearing from, are part of a multi-million dollar activity dubbed Marching Music's Major League. Think of a professional marching band, but largely without woodwinds.
It's Broadway on a football field.
That's Jim Sturgeon, a longtime judge with Drum Corps International, the nonprofit that oversees the activity's competitive circuit.
It is what you would experience in a theater. It has many of the same elements. It can have colors, it can have different costumes, it can have set pieces, it can have all of these things, and lots of enrichment from a musical standpoint.
Most corps are made up of college-age performers, and they come from all over the world. After months of auditions, rehearsals, and weekend camps, the corps hit the road for a national summer tour. Jeffrey Turk is a Boston Crusaders Color Guard member from Cape Girardeau.
It's not just marching band, it is something that transcends it so much. And it's the reason why we spend all this money and go leave our homes for months at a time and go to who knows where just so we can do it over and over again. It's because we love it, and it's a completely different experience.
That passion for performance is steeped in decades of evolution. Drum and bugle corps trace their roots to the military, where they once served as battlefield signaling units. But as radios replaced bugles, they later turned into neighborhood ensembles. The Belleville Black Knights were one of those groups. That's the corps performing William Walton's Crown Imperial during a 1973 show in Butler, Pennsylvania. The Metro East Drum Corps was formed in 1953 and quickly gained national prominence for its precision on the field. Bill Knapp joined the Belleville Black Knights to play trumpet in 1973 at just 12 years old. He's now 71, but vividly remembers the days traveling the country and sleeping on high school gym floors.
When you describe this to people that were never in drum corps, they're going, that sounds terrible. You were sleeping in gym floors with no air conditioning in New Orleans? Yeah. Well, that sounds horrible. And everybody that was in will say, oh, it was the best time of my life.
Even though the Black Knights are no longer active, drum corps has a huge following throughout the region. It's standing room only as thousands of fans fill the stands at Belleville West High School, the site of tonight's rain-delayed competition. One of them is Rodney Williams, a 74-year-old fan from North St. Louis. He's at the show with his wife, Erlene, and says there's one corps he's really excited to see.
The Boston Crusaders, because they're neck-to-neck with the Bluecoats. It's going to be one of those two that's going to win the entire thing.
The Bluecoats from Canton, Ohio aren't here tonight, but fans are still on the edge of their seats. Then the time comes.
Welcome to the field from Boston, Massachusetts, the Boston Crusaders!
A familiar moment for the members and the crowd. The ticking of a clock. The rush of speeding movement. A wall of brass. The Boston-based corps takes first place at this one, but the season's far from over. The Road to Glory heads to Indianapolis next month for the World Championships. That's where a summer of sweat, sunburns, and standing ovations will come to a close under the lights of Lucas Oil Stadium. In Belleville, I'm Brian Munoz. St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Jessica Rogan edited that piece. See photos from the latest show in Belleville at stlpr.org. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music is by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Arla Kuziz, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.